Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I was so focused on trying to out-science you that I let my guard down.
Why were you trying to out-science me?
The agriculture, the hair tonic, we were trying to out-science each other.
I was unaware of a competition, but I did notice your withdrawal. My projects were an attempt to rebuild our camaraderie.
What? They were? Oh. I hope the captain chooses you for the bridge. I couldn't keep up, and you didn't even know it was a race.
I intend to revoke my application upon our return to the Cerritos.
What? Why?
Serving at the captain's side requires skills I do not possess. A science officer must be able to communicate, which I clearly cannot.
Yes, you can! I didn't let you because I was being competitive. All that time on Orion must have gotten in my head.
You chose to serve in Starfleet. I was banished here. You confronted your past, while I have not. I must improve myself before I can lead.
Talin, that's not true. You're amazing, and I've been a real jerk. But that ends now.
I got sodi in my face.
All over your face.
Are we going to do this?
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I've been doing it.
I'm down to clown. All right, so hello. And
hello.
Hello. Did you want to say hello, Jesse?
Hello.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait.
Back up.
Yeah. We didn't test all the sound levels.
Okay, well then let's test them live now.
The audience
gets to hear us testing the sound levels right now.
Chief O'Brien!
Okay. That's too low.
This is the magic.
Well, that's not so bad. Do you want to raise it or should I raise it on the board?
I'll rate it one.
Okay.
Chief O'Brien!
All right. How are you feeling there?
Chief O'Brien!
I mean, that's sounding
fine.
Pretty good to me.
That one was
You
fine.
Think that's fine?
Yeah. Is it what does it sound like to you, Dan?
I mean, if you think it's fine, then it's fine.
Hey, audience, feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. That's the email. If you want to write in and tell us, is it too loud or too soft?
Chief O'Brien!
To me, it sounds just right. I think it's the
Belana's on it.
Goldilocks.
Okay.
Yeah, that one sounded
You
want to
play the hawk noise? That's the ultimate test. What's that?
Holograms.
Oh, right. The hawk noise.
But you have to say hawk noise before it.
Hawk noise!
That one was way loud.
That's great.
So that wasn't that loud.
Well, I mean, to me, it was a little loud.
Okay.
But it should be. The hawk noise ought to be loud. Okay, anyway, enough of this tomfoolery. This is nonsense. What we're here for is the tough business of discussing Star Trek.
Hello, I am Data.
Got to do the hard...
Hi!
The hard work of discussing this excellent television program that we all get to watch week in.
Aw, this place is adorable!
So, we have to welcome the audience first. We've now done our sound testing.
Welcome.
We've got to welcome the audience. We're welcoming the audience to...
My name is Dan.
Okay. Again, the tomfoolery. That was Jesse saying that he was Dan. We don't want to confuse, especially the new listeners. So, Dan, tell me what your name is.
My name's Jesse.
Okay, there we go. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We're getting pretty good at this.
Yes, that's the podcast. That's the podcast that you are listening to. It is episode 267.
All right, let's get started sealing up that fish.
That's the number I have too.
Of that podcast, of this podcast, the podcast, of this podcast. It's Got Started. Yes, indeed. And so what will we be discussing this week? You might be wondering. Probably you're not wondering because probably you've looked at the title
It's on there already.
It's on the playlist. You're like, oh, it says it right there. They're going to be talking about...
It probably already says that it's episode 260.
Lower Decks, season 5, episode 7, and the episode is titled Fully Dilated.
That is correct.
Yeah. Indeed it is. Thank you. Thank you, Purple Data.
Purple Data.
Purple Data.
Purple data, 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 purple data.
All right. Well done. Okay, so that's
looks like our friends on the Purple D left us a little present.
A purple alternate universe version of the Enterprise.
He's purple too. Sucks we missed the purple Enterprise.
Purple data, purple data.
Indeed. So, audience, that's just a minor preview of what you can expect in this episode,
that's
no
exactly
doubt.
Exactly what you
I think there were a number of soundy-um-ups. I don't know what you call them. Do you just call them sound clips?
Sound clips.
Sound em ups.
I call them sound files.
You call them grabs, right?
Sound grabs.
I grab sound.
You grab sound.
They're not grab sound.
But they're not sound grabs. I grab them though.
Graboids.
This boy grabs sound.
That's right.
Anyway,
wait, you're right.
There'll no doubt be more of that coming to you throughout the remainder of this podcast episode, and indeed future podcast episodes, because that's one of the things that Dan likes to do.
That's so nice.
He grabs sounds and then he plays them back, sometimes in a sort of a direct fashion.
Sometimes he grabs asses.
Correct.
Other times, he's just, you know, he's doing some crazy sound art with it, but, you know.
Yes, I do!
We'll get to that. But we got to take care of some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, you do! I saw it!
At the beginning of the podcast.
Getting into it.
First,
would be appreciated.
We should remind folks.
Remind them ups.
Or inform folks, depending on what their what information they already have access to, that we indeed do have a Patreon.
Well, I'm so glad for you.
Patreon.com/itchgotstartrek, where we put up bonus audio content.
I knew it!
It is meant to amuse and entertain, and particularly if you're a fan of the regular program, you will quite probably be a fan of...
I don't think anybody said, well, that was just too much.
Well, I don't know. I've said that before. I've said that a couple times, but we've still put it up. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff there, and even if you don't want to sign up on the paid feed, you can get free previews, and we occasionally put some bonus content up there.
That's amazing! Amazing!
Everyone can access, so go ahead and sign up, even if you don't want to get for the paid tier. You'll enjoy it. Okay.
That is quite impressive.
In fact, the last one we posted was an episode in which Dan both raises and then solves a Congo Bongo mystery.
That is correct.
Solid.
Congo Bongo versus Bongo Congo. It's mm-hmm. all explained in the podcast. Mm-hmm. I also do some really annoying stuff with the echo feature of our soundboard. Really obnoxious stuff.
I know.
And Jesse talks about gardening for a bit. Jesse and I actually talk about gardening for a bit in that one.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
that's
and I think Dan gets a little aggravated by our conversation.
That sounds familiar.
But
yes, I do.
But that's one to check out. At least check out the preview on patreon.com/itchgotstartrek.
It's got Star Trek.
All right, what's next? Oh, yes, a programming note about next week, because next week, due to host travel,
oh no,
we have to delay our coverage of episode 8, which is called Upper Decks, not Upper Deckers. I know. If you don't know what an Upper Decker is, it's
don't
a prank.
Bother.
It's a prank. You can Google it. You can Google Upper Decker and see the prank, but that's not what
this
is called.
Can we focus?
Dubious origins.
Unless Paramount's doing one of their goofy change-em-ups, name-change-em-up things, this one is just called Upper Decks. We will be covering Upper Decks, but we're going to move it to the following week, where we will cover it alongside episode 9, which is called Fissure Quest. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what source I'm looking at, but anyway.
Whatever it's called.
We're going to do 8 and 9 on episode 268.
Right in your face.
268 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, which will air on Monday, December 16th. All right. So if you're listening in the future, don't worry. You can just skip right ahead to that episode and continue our coverage of season 5 of Lower Decks. But next week, we will not leave you contentless.
No.
So we have a plan for a fun bonus episode that we think you'll all enjoy. If it goes according to plan, it'll involve sound clips and quiz-em-ups and all sorts of fun stuff. We'll see. It'll be entertaining regardless.
This plan could prove to be a biggie.
It could indeed. Actually, I'm quite looking forward to that bonus episode. So you'll want to check that out. So pay attention next week. Otherwise, we will continue our discussion of this fifth season the following week. Hey, what should we call that sound effects show? Should we call it Dan's Sound-Em-Up Fucksplosion? Can we call them? I don't know if the iTunes will let us use the term fucksplosion.
What about like balls?
Which is balls?
Well, can we say balls?
I mean, you can say the term, generic term balls. I think it depends on the context.
Explodes balls.
Oh, explodes balls? Well, it doesn't quite convey the sound effects. No. Well, anyway, we'll figure out what we'll call it. It probably won't be called Dan's Sound Em Up Explosion. I'd like it to be called that. But anyway, we'll deal with that next week. And then we do.
Adorbulous.
We have one email. We have an email from Joe Shorter the Fourth.
No, we don't.
And this is yes, Joe. Well, I mean, that was the...
What?
I'm sorry.
That was how he signed the... You know, anyway, Joe Shorter the Fourth, he writes, "Gentlemen, parentheses, and Jesse, based on my analysis of your conversation history in general, and your toast debate in particular," this is in reference to last week's episode, "I've come to
not
the
toast of London debate.
Not toast of
no,
London debate.
No, just toast.
No, no. Based on my analysis of your conversation history in general and your toast debate in particular, I've come to the conclusion that Patrick could be best described as a toast anorak. Love the show, Joe." So I had to look this up because I know the term anorak, but I know the term by its regular definition. Definition one, as Dan would say, as Dan is often likes to look up in the dictionary to prove a point.
Mr. Definition
and one. He looks at definition one, even when there are other definitions.
What are you talking about? You're making shit up right now.
No, I'm not making shit up.
Tell me what you're to which shit you're referring to.
Because I said I was an aficionado.
Curious.
I said I was a toast aficionado. That's what Joe is referring to our conversation. Oh, and then you pulled out the argument. You said like expert is one of the definitions.
Yeah. So that's the opposite of what you called me. You said that I only pay attention to the first definition. I actually paid attention to all the synonyms. You were the one who didn't pay attention to ones.
No.
You were like, no, I don't care if it's a synonym for aficionado. No. It doesn't mean the same thing.
No, first of all, there's not.
Dan only pays attention to the first definition. That had nothing to do with what I was arguing.
Let me provide some context for both you and the audience. I commented that last week, I commented that I considered myself a toast aficionado. And then you said that's the same as saying you're a toast expert.
Yes.
And then I was saying, like, I don't consider myself an expert, but I do consider myself as an aficionado. You looked up the expert of the expert, the definition of aficionado.
I looked up a synonym for aficionado.
Well, whatever it was. The point being is that a term can have multiple definitions, and you can choose which one of those definitions you are applying at a given time. So I'm arguing that I am using one of the definitions of aficionado, but I'm not using all of them. You can't use all of them.
I wasn't looking up the definition. I was looking up synonyms. First of all,
I understand. Aficionado. I never disagreed with you.
Yeah, but you keep talking about definitions.
No,
you keep saying like I follow the definition. I didn't even read definitions. Okay. So you're talking at different points.
This guy's like Webster over here.
You're being acutely.
No, I'm not.
Acutely semantic here because a synonym. Look,
who's being semantic? You're the one who says, I never said I was an expert. I didn't say I was an aficionado. That's fucking
Some
semantic bullshit.
A synonym.
Mr. Semantics over here calling me semantic.
No, a synonym. It's like you like math. This is like the transitive property in math. You can reverse it because
just
a synonym,
like the transitive property.
A synonym, you need the definition just like in order to be a synonym.
Just like the transitive property of expert is the same basically as aficionado because it's a synonym. Yes, there are nuanced differences.
It has nothing to do with anything.
But like the point is they're close enough. Okay. You made it seem you're the semantic one saying, I'm not an expert, I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, we gotta get to Joe's email here. This is important.
Okay. I knew it.
That was some hopefully there's enough context provided in the previous couple minutes to have a full understanding of what I'm saying here. So Joe is suggesting
I paid attention to all the definitions. You're the one who only paid attention to one definition. For calling synonyms definitions, you're the one who only paid attention to one of them. I was like, it could be either any one of them.
So as it turns out, anorak, which is a term I'm familiar with in terms of the first definition, which is usually a pullover hooded jacket long enough to cover the hips. That's one definition. I just ever understood as sort of a light jacket as an anorak, right? However, it turns out that there is a second definition. It is a British informal slang term for a person who is extremely enthusiastic about and interested in something that other people find boring.
Curious.
And so in that sense, Joe is suggesting that I could be described as a toast anorak. And I think that makes perfect sense.
I could go with that.
It's something who is, I'm extremely enthusiastic and interested in something that other people may find boring. Not all other people.
Some people.
Some other people may find boring.
I agree.
Other people might be. Similarly.
I think that toast can be an interesting topic.
Jesse, I think, also considers himself a toast connoisseur or aficionado, depending on whether you prefer the French or the Italian.
There's nothing complicated about toast.
Well, as I said, Dan, we will have a separate conversation. Maybe we'll do an episode of It's Not Star Trek.
I will go with
toast.
Anorak. Yeah, that sounds good to me. But toast aficionado, I still don't buy that shit.
Well, all right, we'll figure that out in a different venue. Let's say that. Okay, and then the last thing.
A great call.
The last thing I want to get started here. So we do have a voicemail from Isaac, but we're going to save that to the second break. So we'll play voicemail from Isaac at the beginning of the second break, because we don't have a second break fun him up. So Isaac's voicemail is going to be this week's second break. Email him up, fun him up, rock him up, party him up. All right.
I'm getting real tired of your sass, Data.
Excellent. Oh. All right. Now let's get into it. Let's get into Fully Dilated. Firstly, by noting, I think a lot of people, myself included,
let us get to work.
Figured when we heard this title, and it was delightful that this season Lower Decks released all their titles, each episode's title at the beginning of the season, kind of a la Stranger Things. I dig that. I always get aggravated when we don't know the title for the next week. I don't know why they think it's going to give away all these clues, and especially because they often don't. Because Fully Dilated, you read that and you're like, oh, is this going to be about some space baby? Is this going to be a space baby episode?
Space baby.
It's about a dilated cervix? Is that what it's going to be? No! It's about time dilation.
Time dilation.
Brilliant!
Well,
time dilation.
Absolutely.
Except they kind of drop the whole time dilation plot. Like, they just kind of slip it in there. They don't give any setup or anything. They're just, all they say is like, oh, by
1 second equals 1 week.
Right.
No,
time dilation.
It wasn't clear, because it wasn't exactly clear why that was.
Because the planet's core. They explained it.
Okay. I'm explaining what my point of view on this one.
Right.
The whole time dilation angle just kind of came out of nowhere. All we're told is we're introduced to the idea when Rutherford says the planet's core has created a space-time differential.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we're given.
We're not.
It wasn't anything at the beginning like, oh, they dropped it on this planet that's near the star or something like that. They didn't give any setup to the time dilation. They only mentioned it that one time, not before and not after. The only thing that one line was meant to do was to let us know one week equals 1 second.
I'm totally cool with that.
It's just like, it was
I dug this episode.
And it was cool. I would think though that like, how long do you think it took them to like clean up their?
I was really
console?
I was curious if you were going to attempt a calculation, because while I was watching this, I quickly decided, at least on my own, I was like, from my perspective, you got to give them the creative leeway that it can't like match up.
I didn't consider them to match up.
But I was still curious about how well it kind of like pans out, like what 1 year divided into, you know,
so,
seconds or
right,
whatever.
Right. So, first of all, to press that button would take about a second, to press the button's like a half a second. It'll take about a week for them to press the button.
Yeah, button in a second.
Exactly.
It seemed like it probably would have taken, with the kind of mess they made, gotta have been like at least 5 minutes worth of work.
Yeah, like what was in those drinks? Was it like a dip?
It looked like some kind of Bloody Mary
something. I know exactly what this, because I found this very interesting.
And by the way, I don't believe that Beard Boy would drink that. I would think he would be like having whiskey or scotch or something.
He's still Boimler. I disagree, because he's still, even alternate universe with it, Boimler is still fucking Boimler.
He's gonna go big.
Yeah, I think he's not gonna handle a whiskey.
I disagree. There's gonna be some kind of, you know, monkey in there.
Yeah, he's not like super Boimler. He's just slightly, because all of these alternate universe things, and we'll get to that, whatever that season long arc thing, we'll talk about that later in the show. But most of these alternate universes are just slightly different. right? Like purple Data is just purple. Otherwise, he's basically the same, right? But the drink, the cocktail, I had to look this up.
Micheladas or something?
Yeah.
Micheladas. Is that a real drink?
I don't even know. A real drink. I've never heard of this. I'm now very intrigued by this. I don't know if I want one, but I think I've come across it, but just never processed it because I didn't order it. I think I've seen people walking around with it because Google, good old fashioned Google that gets everything right and is nothing wrong with Google and nothing's wrong with Google's autocorrect on Android or anything. It's fine, right?
Yeah, totally fine.
Google's AI is totally fine.
I guess.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's all fine. Just prefacing.
I'll show you. Show everyone.
Roku's basilisk.
Like when Google Home like won't turn off your lights because it says they're not installed, and then you just ask it again, and it's like, okay, and then your lights go off.
Or when the Google Assistant seems to not work right anymore, like you ask it to open a menu and it just doesn't do anything. Yeah. I swear it did before on my phone.
Or it just keeps saying red rum, red rum.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that all aside, Google says that a michelada is a Mexican drink made with beer, lime juice, sauces, spices, and chili peppers. It is served in a chilled glass with a salt rim. The word michelada translates to my cold beer in Mexican Spanish. Micheladas are often called Mexican Bloody Marys because of their spicy flavor and red color. They're made with tomato juice, spices, hot sauce, and savory seasonings, but use cold Mexican beer instead of vodka.
Oh, man, this is great. This is really everything I wanted it to be.
I don't think I want to drink that.
That's like the Google AI. It's like gives the definition like three times in different ways.
But first it's like, excellent question, or something like that. It tells you like, of course I can tell like, what that. They're always so, it's so cordial.
I'm not super excited about this. No. I do like a regular Bloody Mary.
They had shrimp in there.
But you know what? He had shrimp
in his eye.
I don't mind. I'm not into like a Clamato juice. You know, like.
That shrimp in my eye!
Like a beer and juice. What is that drink called?
Clamato, like, dude.
Clamato.
Yeah.
Is that a beer in Clamato? Or is Clamato like just like clam juice with vodka in it? Or it's tomato juice and clam.
V8 with clam.
But then what do you put in it to make it an alcoholic drink? Because there's a cocktail that's made with Clamato, but I can't remember what it's called.
They make some kind of beer with Clamato.
Budweiser had some horrible business. Anyway.
That guy we know was drinking that.
Anyway, this did look like an exciting drink because of all the shrimp and limes and stuff stuck into it.
Even though it's
what caused the whole problem. The whole plot is driven by the shrimp.
So what I was saying is,
I would
think that it would take probably at least 5 minutes to clean up that console, and 5 minutes is 300 seconds, which according to them, every second is what, 2 weeks. That's what they said. One second is one week. Okay, so it takes 300 weeks, which is like, five and three-fourths years. Over 5 years, if it took them 5 minutes to clean that, they would have been on the planet for 5 years. But we know they were on the planet for about 10 months.
It was
a year. A year.
To a year.
About a year.
So that means it must have taken them about a minute.
About a minute
to clean up that. And I have a hard time believing that they could have cleaned up all that garbage. Because the fucking console didn't just have shit on it.
Yeah.
It was like zapping and shit.
They had different problems and they had to lick it.
By the way, when they talked about like Lundy's hand, I started thinking about how disgusting it would be to lick a keyboard. That's probably at least as dirty as money, like currency, like a keyboard.
Like, would you even?
It's probably fucking disgusting.
Would you even want to lick your own keyboard that only you have ever used?
Oh man, it's probably worse than licking a toilet, honestly.
Oh yeah, no, because porcelain is antibacterial, basically. Yeah, you're all right there.
Yeah, I almost broke something.
Okay,
don't worry, it was my thing that I almost broke.
What did you break?
I didn't break anything. I almost broke something.
You almost broke something.
For the audience at home, we just Dan made a sharp motion.
Who cares?
And I heard a clunk, I can't see behind his consoles because Dan has surrounded himself with all this technology.
I didn't mean to overstep.
He's like a modern day Krang.
Whoa.
Sort of. Not really. All right. I was going to say, it's like there's like the A plot and the B plot, and the B plot is like a minute long because it's just the cleanup action.
Oh, also at the point after they find Data's head, like Mariner's like, where the fuck is Boimler? It's been like hours. But like, remember, 1 second is a week.
Yes.
So unless they press it super fast, they should have expected to be. Yeah. And then my final thing I want to point out when it comes to that is, instead of pressing the button manually, why didn't they create a batch file? file that pressed that triggered the action at an exact interval of about what, like, you know, a tenth of a second or something like that.
Elkar's batch file.
Yeah,
just we know that Starfleet has like these loose regulations that these dudes are just having like fucking party drinks in the fucking transporter room. Like,
they should go to the brig. Well, you know, that should have been
you should have a built-in command that just brings them back.
Yeah, they sent Ollie to the brig last week.
And if they had, and for something that's as Ollie.
Granted, she was destroying evidence when of
it
crime. Was
when it's something as unforgiving or like as granular as like 1 second is a week, you're gonna want it to be like pop pop, you know, and you don't want and you don't want, you want it to be exact. So
you don't need some dude pushing a button or two.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Well, that they could have said the same thing about season two of Lost. Am I right? Up top. Hey, Dan, up top. Nope. All right. We're a little too far away. I'm trying to.
That is outside of my knowledge base, but I have seen Lieutenant Worf do this.
Trying to give Dan a high five, but we're a bit of a distance away.
I'm getting real tired of your sass,
like
Data.
Yeah. Okay. What were we talking about?
Who cares?
Oh, I did have a question for you, Dan. I think that might be another keeper. So, Dan, I know you have among your various bugaboos, you have a little sack of bugaboos.
I have a sack of boo.
Dan brings every week.
A macaboo bread. I have a sack of boo. I have a sack of boo.
No crust.
No crust.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the macaboo bread. I guess he's still looking for it. What I was going to say.
Macaboo bread, no crust. Broccagino, extra sweet. Macaboo bread, no crust.
What I was going to say is that every week when Dan comes to the studio with a little sack or satchel, I don't know what you'd call it. It's more of a sack because it's just got a, it's got a leather, it's a leather sack with a leather drawstring that he has clipped to his belt. Yeah.
He's a pirate.
And in this sack, he has a bunch of bugaboos.
And one of his bugaboos,
for example, is like the cliched use of that's an order.
Bugaboo bag.
Yes. But another bugaboo, and I was curious if that bugaboo came into play this week.
Curious.
Because he has not yet mentioned this particular bugaboo, is that when somebody uses the phrase one of something, more like a thousand of something.
Oh,
right. You know,
oh, did they do that this episode?
No, but I was wondering.
I can't keep track.
I was wondering if at all. Maybe I'm totally out of school here, but I was wondering if the 1 second equals 1 week falls into that bugaboo, because you know scientifically it's not that. They are approximating, right?
One like equals one prayer. Is that how that's written? How that thing goes on the social media? It's like one like equals one prayer.
I mean,
or something like that.
Yeah, but that one like equals one prayer is not the same thing as saying like one thing is three orders of magnitude different.
I disagree.
Okay, no, but what I'm saying is, like, you do, please, you do have this bugaboo about, like, saying, like...
Yeah. What, it's like... 100 it's like
years,
five,
more like 1,000 years.
It's like 5 minutes, more like 5 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because it's got to be five. Because I said five before.
And they have to say, somehow, afterwards,
somehow
right?
It has more of an effect if I use the same number.
Yeah. You...
Okay.
So
you have articulated. Snow. You have articulated your bugaboo.
And bugaboo.
And I'm wondering.
I like how you accented that.
I'm wondering if your bugaboo applies
your
to
bugaboo.
The 1 second equals 1 week. 1 second more like one. It's not 1 second more like 1 week, but it is 1 second equals,
you know,
1 week. And what I'm saying is that, you know, it's not exactly that.
Yeah, you know,
that doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't be that, because why would it be? Why would 1 second equal 7 days,
you know,
exactly?
Yeah, you know, had you not said anything, I would have never considered it. But now that you bring it up, I'm starting to consider it.
I see that your body language has become very tense and sort of you're drawing into yourself.
You kind of
like a dying spider. You're like, no joke, people. Jesse, back me up. Doesn't Dan look like a dying spider, like drawing his arms, his limbs in, curling inward?
He has drawn it. I don't know about a dying spider. That's pretty dramatic.
I might be being colorful.
I mean, totally. Yes, you have.
I'm being a little colorful there.
I applaud your color.
Yeah, well, now you've given me something new to think about and worry about. So, right, yeah, you effectively...
I like nothing more than introducing new anxiety.
You planted this anxiety in my head by bringing that up. Because you're right, like, there's no reason it would be 1 week. Now, it's not the same thing as 5 minutes, more like 5 years, but it is, like, along in that same...
It's a cousin,
it's
perhaps.
That cousin story. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, why would 1 day equal 1 week just so happens? Because it's easier to think of, you know? It's like, yeah.
And Star Trek, why couldn't they be, like, all Vulcan Talin Lynn could be all like, for each second that passes on the planet, 6.75 days. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I started talking like that. I apologize.
My home was in an outcropping of jagged rocks in the Viltan Flats.
Talyn is wonderful. I hope we find a way to get much more Talyn in some
capacity. Talyn was showing some insecurity this episode, which is kind of un-Vulcan. I mean, I will, you know, Vulcans aren't...
Because of the... Oh, okay.
At the end, because...
Like, I didn't view that as insecurity. Interesting.
Well, because at the end, like...
it technically is.
Yeah, because Tendi was talking about... Because Tendi was insecure about her science ability.
Tendi was definitely insecure.
Oh, wait. By the way, I want to bring up... Well, maybe I should finish this. I should finish this.
Okay, we literally have less than a minute before the break.
Okay, let me finish this.
I'm going to be hard on the break today.
Okay.
Hard.
Look at the clock. Look at that clock. Conclude this point.
Okay. Yeah, let me, please.
1 minute, 1 second.
Stop it. Every time you talk, it sucks.
I know. It's so fun.
This sucks.
So, Tendi was insecure about the fact that she felt like Talyn was out-sciencing her, which I don't think she was. Mm-hmm. But at the end, Talyn was like, but I have failed to communicate properly. You know, you didn't do science. I failed to communicate properly. Then she was also like, you're at the Cerritos because you want to be here. I'm here because I got punished. Yeah. Like, you're following your dream. I'm sort of getting bounced around. So Talyn expressed a little bit of insecurity, which is pretty un-Vulcan, because I know in the past, Vulcans aren't supposed to lie, but as you like to point out, Patrick, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
But I will say,
total bullshit.
I think there's less of, I think Vulcans are less likely to be insecure than lie. Yeah. It seems like insecurity is not really in the Vulcan's wheelhouse.
I agree with that, and I hadn't considered that because I hadn't interpreted it as insecurity, but I don't know what I think about it yet. I might have to watch it again through that lens to sort of come to a conclusion, because I'm trying to think back, because I think I could argue that it's not, but I gotta say, it's time for a break. Hey all, we will be right back.
Oh shit, fuck, god damn it.
Play the sound. The clock is ticking.
Oh.
What's going on?
Why aren't you playing the sound?
I don't know.
You picked a sound to go to break.
Chief O'Brien.
Is it because you looked at the Makaboo bread? Is that what happened?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, this is great. This is actually terrible.
Oh, my God. This is
terrible.
Something's terrible.
The clock is still ticking.
Oh, my God.
Your thing, did you click something off?
Get out of here, Snell. Go get a life. Are you jealous? You aren't coming with?
Okay. All right. We'll be right fucking back.
Jeez.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody. Miss any good rats while I was gone?
Rats.
Missing any good rats?
We're just down here looking for globbers.
While I'm gone.
All right, go Team Science!
All right, there we go. There was a bit of a...
chaotic
exit into the break, but we sorted everything out. I think
big
it's all...
Big time globbers!
I think it's working.
That's what they call me.
Big time globbers!
That's what we've always called you.
Yeah. Two for a globber!
Yeah.
30 years now.
Looking for globbers.
I'm right here.
Looking for globbers.
Hey, I'm right here.
Where is globbers? He's over there.
Yeah, normally a show like that costs you some big time globbers.
We're just down here looking for globbers.
Every week.
Dan Globbers.
Big time globbers.
I don't have to look too far for globbers.
Big time globbers.
Okay. Big time. Big time. All big
right.
time.
All right. Well done. But
I wanted to mention that
compliments put down there. Well done, but we do need to do this other thing.
Yeah, well, I was
you got a voicemail.
Well, I was doing my thing.
Okay.
I also wanted to mention that there were four words that I wrote that kind of like didn't sum up the episode, but there were four prominent concepts in this episode.
All right.
Number one was, and I wrote this at the top of my thing.
Did you handwrite it or did you type it?
I took a Sharpie out and wrote on my laptop with a Sharpie. The themes were purple.
Purple.
Science. Globbers. And data.
Globbers and data.
Yeah, those were the four things in this episode.
Now, these are just words that represent themes to you, or did these words actually occur more often in the script than other words?
What about grapes?
The concept of their existence was prominent.
The concept... The concept of their existence. This is starting to sound like a They Might Be Giants song, Dan. Well, I was thinking of the song Mrs. Train, you know?
That's how they sound.
Or that song where he's like,
I got a thing in my butt. Or no, how do you? They I made, can't sing that other guy.
For the, they tore down the garage to make room for the torn down garage, that sort of thing.
I can sing that one guy who goes like, but the other singers are like, there's like a. I can't do the other guy.
That sounds more like a Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I know, it did.
You've done this bit before, Dan.
What's
I think it was more successful the last time.
I like to the things at home, the lights at low and high. I have a fever, and I am out of time.
He looked at me, I looked at something written across her scalp. And these are the words that it faintly said as I tried to call for help.
You
only can do what you want, know how to do well. And I've often been told that you only can do what you know how
purple
to
data.
Do well. And that's be you.
Purple data.
Be what you're like.
Purple data.
Purple
data.
Be like yourself.
Purple data.
And so I'm having a
purple
wonderful
data.
Time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark.
Purple data.
Whistling in the dark.
Purple data.
That's the song
whistling.
My wife danced with
whistling.
Her
purple
father
data.
At our wedding.
Yes, I remember that. That was cool.
Yeah, it was
a cool wedding.
Totally awesome. You guys were like,
dance.
Whoa, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is great. This is really everything I wanted it to be.
All right. Well, you've successfully thrown me for a loop when we are trying to get...
You're getting on my case for, like, playing a few sounds, but Mr. Tangent over here, like, going off like, oh, I just can't resist from singing a song when I hear a few words.
I'm going to recite Whistling in the Dark
Sir,
over it.
I am not getting on your case. I am quite...
You do. You're like, you're
I'm
always...
quite
you,
entertained
no, you're
and
totally,
amused
no, you're totally
by
getting on my case. When you say, like, okay, well done. When you say, like, well done, that's your way of saying, time to move on. I'm sick of this. That's what you mean when you say, well done. You mean, I'm sick of this.
Well, I was about to say, I could be ordering a
steak. Please, do not shut me down mid-conversation.
Ordering a steak or a burger, but you know me too well, and you know that I would not be ordering a well-done steak.
What the
or
fuck
burger.
Are you talking about? Oh, not the fuck you. You took my words and you made them different.
No. Anyway, don't worry
the
about
chicken.
It.
Chicken.
Yeah, I know. I said well done. You took my words. You made it say
no,
something
no.
different.
You'll appreciate it more when you listen back. All right. What was I going to say? Oh,
the
yes.
only way I can handle the pain is by playing my beloved soap flute.
Voicemail. We have a voicemail from Isaac. From Tasmania.
I can try.
This is a really good episode. So, guys, we've been watching Star Trek together for quite a while now, and I think it's about time that we get to know you guys a little bit better. So I've organized some questions for you guys. You can work out who answers which question. I don't really care. But just designed to, get to know you. So first of all,
respect.
Question is... When you're in traffic and you're stuck in a red light and you've got a car next to you, do you try to make eye contact with the driver? Have you ever been in a car crash? And which soundboard version of the word holograms do you guys enjoy the most? Is it
holograms?
Holograms or something else. Okay.
Holograms.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that's a great call.
All right. Well, thank you, Isaac.
Oh,
those are three excellent
shit.
Questions. Now, the question is should all three of us answer all three, or should each of us parse it out and
no,
just take one of it?
Wait, we gotta summarize the questions. The questions were: if what hologram do you like the best? Do you push people when you see them in the street?
Yes. Yeah. The first question is: Do you push people when you see them in the street?
Do you look at people? Oh yeah. Do you look at people
at a red light? Do you look over at the driver in the lane next to you and make eye contact?
If they're being a dick or not?
No, he did not specify whether or not they were being a dick. He merely suggested that would you do that? Would you glance over and make eye contact on
as
purpose?
Long as it does not require hands, feet, or torso, I believe you can.
And then the middle question was, have you ever been in a car crash? Hey, Dan, would you like to take the first question? Do you look at people's, do you make eye contact with people at a red light driving in the United States of America?
No, that's generally thought of as an aggressive move.
But that maybe you'd want to be aggressive.
Why would you want to be?
But do you ever have the thought of doing it?
But I mean, that's why it needs to be qualified of like what my state of mind is. Because under a normal circumstance, I don't think anybody would look at make eye contact.
What
with
if they're a dickhead?
That's what did I just say? I said under normal circumstances, your
no,
average
no, no, no.
driving
I'm saying, scenario. I'm saying a dickhead might do it under normal circumstances without
okay,
without,
we're talking about a psychopath, but like there's always like anomalous like
don't
data points.
I don't know if you need to be a
don't
psychopath.
Don't you just have a curiosity to see who is around you in the car?
But I don't make eye contact with
okay,
them.
Okay, yeah.
I might sneak a glance.
Hey, Dan. Right. Hey, Dan. I think Jesse just doesn't want to admit it. I think he's one of those guys that makes eye contact.
Yeah.
I think Jesse looks over. I think he fucking locks in.
If somebody's driving like a piece of shit, like as I pass them, I'll like, I might look at them for a minute. Not to like, intimidate them, but I just want to see if they're like looking at their phone or,
yeah,
or whatever.
Right, because they usually are.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I was driving tonight and I was like, it's a new game you can play. Are they drunk or on the phone?
No, no. Yes, I know. It's an upsetting game.
Yeah, because you don't know anymore. It used to be like, oh, they're drunk. And now you just don't know.
No, they're drunk and on their phone.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dan. I don't think I usually would be looking at the people in the next lane over. I'm just going to be listening to my old podcasts.
Ah, well, I'm so glad for you.
All right. Car crash. Have you ever been in a car crash? We'll start with you, Jesse.
Yeah, I have been.
Did you cause it?
No.
Aw, respect.
What happened in the car crash?
It was like three or four cars, and there was a car like at the front of this line of cars that,
damn,
that had to slow down on the highway. It was on in an exit lane, and like it was like Memorial Day weekend, and there was so much like traffic that you couldn't get around these people that had stopped, and the road effectively just stopped.
You get accordioned?
So one person like was not going, so somebody had to stop behind them, and then somebody had to stop behind them, and I believe I was the next person in line.
Like number three or four?
Yeah, and so none of us could get around this fucking jackass because everybody else was hauling ass into D.C. down.
Let me guess, Slarno?
Slarno.
And some other motherfucker wasn't paying attention and ran right into me.
And then that pushed you forward?
And okay, so I saw this fool coming and I took my foot off the brake and I just like held on to shit. And I was just like, what?
Damn.
I got hit from behind once and it was exactly like where you see them coming. You're like, why is that person not slowing down? They're just going to fucking run straight into the back of my fucking car.
Do not be concerned.
You see them in the mirror and they get right up in there.
Yeah. Seriously.
And so my car just goes like, and it goes like flying and it crashes into the car in front of me and I'm all like, what?
That sucks, man.
My car comes to rest and it's kind of totaled. And then I get a new car after that. And that's kind of cool. But,
get burnt, Snell.
It was traumatic. It was totally traumatic.
I can imagine. Yeah, I was in one car.
I was angry.
One car accident where,
anger.
I gotta find a flute!
I was in the passenger seat and the person was turning left into a shopping center parking lot or something. And a driver came in a much smaller car came and did not stop, just ran straight into the passenger side. But it was a sturdily built Toyota, I suppose.
Yeah,
so I was in no way harmed, even though the car was like smashed up pretty well.
That is quite impressive.
But the fucked up thing about that was that the person just drove off. They were dazed for a second. Their car was super fucked up and they just drove off.
I had a glass of iced tea and it spilled all over the car and my shorts were wet. Wow. And
have you ever had a hot and sour soup in between your thighs when you're driving along and then you have to slam on the brakes and you squeeze your thighs together and all the hot and sour soup with all the mushroom and the pork and everything just squirts straight up in the air and splashes all over your lap? You ever had that happen?
You were really cool.
I've had certain sour thighs.
You've had certain sour thighs?
Certainly I've had sour thighs.
I don't think you've ever done that, Patrick.
I actually did do that once. It sucked. It was horrible. It was hot. Like the
that
hot
sucks.
It was hot.
They weren't joking with
sour.
That whole hot and sour soup business. All right. They've learned about Jesse and I. How about you, Dan? Anything interesting?
Let's move on. To actually talk about the episode.
Oh, Dan's ready to move on.
We do the holograms. This is my order of holograms this week.
Holograms?
Holograms.
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 Sometimes it's
holograms.
Holograms.
Wait. Sometimes the order is
holograms.
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 But this week it's
holograms.
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 That's what it is this week.
It's difficult for me to decide which one I like the best because it's kind of mood dependent.
Yeah, and it follows a melody kind of. So just this is the one. This is today.
Holograms.
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 And this is what my other one I do.
Holograms.
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 So for newbies, new listeners of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, those are all from the episode Shadow Play on Deep Space Nine, right? Shadow Play,
totally.
which I think we discussed in episode, I believe, like 170 of It's Got Star Trek, 169, 170, something like that.
Something like that.
It's a good episode. Go back and listen to it.
Somewhere in there.
Well, thank you,
Where
Isaac.
Would I stay?
Thanks so much, Isaac. Actually, one of our favorite holograms is actually you saying holograms because it's hilarious.
Absolutely.
We keep forgetting. We meant to like clip that out and be like, add in the Isaac hologram.
He's a really funny guy.
Because, yeah, you've sent in...
We don't have time!
Previous voicemails. Okay. That was the voicemail em up. Second break, entertainment...
entertainment em up.
And now we can get back to our discussion of Fully Dilated.
Beam them back! Beam them back! Did you hear that guy? Yes. He's going, who is that? Is that, who's going, Here, wait, listen to this.
Beam them back! Beam them back!
Boimler.
That's Boimler.
Is that Boimler going,
Rutherford is the one saying, like, get them back. That's Eugene Cordero.
Okay, so, when they first start yelling, it sounds like this. Right?
Okay.
And then when they come back, it sounds like this. So it like makes it seem like one. Someone's got the sneezles over there.
I sneezed, but I was trying not to sneeze.
Well, I haven't sneezed this whole podcast.
I was talking about Patrick.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I,
well,
that,
I'm
was,
usually,
that was a rare Patty sneeze.
I've usually already sneezed.
Patio sneeze.
So this was the first scream. This is the second one. So it sounds like they would connect together. That sounds like they would connect together. Sounds like they would have just cut it and split it off, right? You know what I mean? They would have just taken one.
So one was the out heading out into the break, and the other one was coming back from the break.
Well, it wasn't even. It wasn't
not the break, but you know, it's like the break in the story.
It was a bit
yeah,
of a
yeah.
So it was intended in universe. It was intended to be unbroken.
Like,
but
yeah.
It appears to be broken when you actually analyze it.
This was. It sounds like they just took one long screen, they cut the sound in half, and then they sandwiched it around a whole bunch of Dilmer 3 plot or whatever. The first going in. So I actually tried to put them together, and I didn't really get great results, but I had three different tries.
All right.
This is the one where I just cut it and just put them the sounds next to each other.
This is why you were so eager to get back to our discussion of the episode.
No, I mean, it wasn't specifically about this.
No, I get it. This is great. I'm enjoying this.
It's all ad hoc. Nerd right
no, because I didn't notice any of this, and now I'm like fascinated by this fucking slightly different. Like it's like a half octave difference.
This one is where I just cut the middle part out and stuck them closer together. No effects or algorithms
right.
or anything.
Try number one. Yeah, very clear difference.
Yeah. And notice how the second one is softer than the other one. Did you notice? Wait, the second one's softer. Here,
play it again.
Yeah. Second one's a little softer.
It's almost like they're further away from the mics.
So, yeah, it sounds like, I don't know. Either they didn't do the sound, they didn't normalize right, or it's just a separate sound altogether. But it would make more sense if they just took one.
I bet it's a separate sound, though.
It would have made more sense to just do one.
Maybe, but
for a commercial break. A commercial traditionally is loud. It comes in all loud.
It could, but
this wasn't a commercial. This has nothing to do with a commercial break.
Yeah, but I still think
the principle is
the same in the sense that it could be that they needed a different sound for the mood that they were either leaving or heading into.
But I would think that the reason they would use the same sound is to put across the effect that while they're screaming, like a half second of screaming equals four days.
I agree. Agree with you, and that would be my.
And they show all the plot that happens in those 4 days,
and that would be my instinct as well. And I agree with you in principle, but I think probably they didn't count on anyone actually bothering to try to put them together, which is foolish on their part because why not?
Yeah,
they weren't.
Haven't they heard this
they
podcast?
Weren't expecting this fellow over here.
But in addition to that, from a production standpoint, from an audio production standpoint, I can understand that even if in universe these are intended to be a one unbroken scream in order to convey the point you're saying, that perhaps the audience wouldn't perceive that because enough time was passed in between. And more importantly, perhaps the louder scream and the softer scream are related to the scenes surrounding the scream and making sure that they're in line with that they're having the appropriate amount of punch based off of whatever audio they came out of. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the episode queued up to test out that theory, but that could be it. It could be that there's just the flavor of whatever sound came before it, perhaps.
I hear you, but if it were me, I would have done it. At the end of the day, it is indeed an editorial decision, not at the beginning.
It is an editorial decision. You are correct.
So this is the same one, except this time I use the control A on
to select all.
No, it's not control A, is it? No, it's You're right. It's not Control A. It's the one that merges the sounds together.
Well, you probably made. Did you make a shortcut? Because I made a shortcut. I can't remember. Crossfade clip.
It's no Control A.
Where you take two clips and crossfade them together.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Crossfade. Whatever crossfade is, I can't remember. I think I bound mine to Control A.
Oh, okay. See, I bound mine to a different. The thing is the crossfade in Audacity is what you're referring
to. And Control Alt W.
You have to assign something.
Control Alt W makes a new mono track, and a Control Alt 1 creates a new stereo track for
mono
me.
Track.
For
you.
For me. Okay. So I crossfade clips the same one. This is the same one, except I crossfade clipsed it. So this is the first one. Right. Crossfade clips. It sounds basically the same, doesn't it?
Sounds basically the same, yeah.
Okay, and then the third one that I did is I normalized them, and then I crossfade clipped them. So the second one's softer. Theoretically, the second one should be at the same volume as the first. That was all three of them. You want me to play all three one more time?
Well, you know what, Dan? Why don't we just go ahead and say, why not?
Yeah. So it's going to be no crossfade clips, and then normalized with the crossfade clip.
All right.
One to three. Whoops. Let me start again. I got to start again.
Oh.
Of course. No.
Okay, here we go. They sound all pretty similar, don't they?
Yeah.
But the third one, you can tell. Could you hear the volume difference in the third one?
Well, I don't know, because one of the issues is that when we edit this podcast together, part of the process will be to normalize the audio.
Oh, shit.
So fuck. They're all probably going to get normalized. But
no, actually, they would get normalized to the highest thing, so they would still keep their relative distance from each other.
Well, one would hope. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, what are we going to talk about after that? How the hell are we going to possibly follow
okay,
that up?
Okay,
I don't know.
How about this?
I'm
how about
at a loss?
How about this? They talked about it was the third fissure this week. Now, when they say this week, they couldn't have been referring to the fissure they saw in the first or second.
No. I think the implication is it's gotten boring at this point. The first few references is like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's a workaday
right.
thing.
Right. When they say the third one this week, they don't mean three total all season. They mean
they
like
do not.
So the first episode. Wait, was the fissure? Was that the first episode or the second episode? I can't even remember.
I think it was the second episode.
Okay, now so we're not saying that the second episode happened within the last week of the Lower Decks time.
Might have been the first episode. I can't remember.
Well, I think the first episode there was an alternate.
Yes,
Sarita.
That's right.
I know, but
and that came through a fissure.
That my question is:
okay,
is did
yes.
the first or second episode happen within the last week of Lower Decks
no,
time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think.
Okay. Well, fissures. So there's a lot of fissures.
How many episodes are going to be in the season? Probably 10.
At first, I thought this episode was going to be a continuation of like the alternate dimension one from the earlier season.
Well,
but it had nothing to do with it.
It didn't have nothing to do with it. It was.
Well, I thought it was going to be
continuing the idea that there's these rifts opening.
No,
up.
No, but I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be the same universe of like they were going to have another interaction
being
with
different.
Mariner.
It was a purple D.
It keeps being different universes that are only slightly different.
But there's been no other fissures this.
No, they've referenced other fissures like happening.
Yeah, there was one like in Klingon space.
Yeah. It's just not, it's not.
Oh, there was the one, there was the hole that Mariner found.
Yes.
But they never specified if that was which dimension that was. That could have been the same dimension.
They didn't specify, but the idea being like that this is a common occurrence now.
Yeah, well, I was just... Well, anyway,
it's
when
part
I
part of the arc.
I'm just saying, at first...
It's part of the arc.
Part of the arc,
Dan. All I was saying is when at first I started watching it, I was thinking that maybe they would see Beard Boimler and Starbase 80, Freeman, and like all those folks, but it had nothing to do with that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's Beard Rutherford.
I like the idea of a evil Tasha Yar clone episode, though. I think that would be.
Oh well, I mean this episode was great. This was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, for my money, it's probably the best one of.
It was
the
really pretty.
Season so
it,
far.
It was nice to look at.
It
too.
Was beautiful. The animation's all been great, especially this season. But this in particular was just fucking gorgeous.
And there was an establishing shot of like the place they lived at, and there was a water wheel, and the way they animated the water wheel was awesome because it's spinning, but you see the water like falling from thing to thing. Like it was a lot of effort they put into something that they didn't have to put a lot of effort into.
The
but
backgrounds,
really cool.
Just the backgrounds, both interior and exterior, and last, of this episode were really great.
And last week they start off with like this great like different colors of the nebula and stuff.
Nah, they've been
There's been several pre-warp, pre-industrial sort of planets they visited, and there's been like weird sort of maybe a time dilation or something like that.
Yes.
And so they sort of threw those together, and then they threw it together with like some Data's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, they've referenced a bunch of episodes in this episode. Blink of an Eye from
like,
from
it's
Voyager.
Like a, blink of an eye.
Which is a planet where stuff goes fast. Yeah. Inner Light, of course, with the whole like the idea of
right.
just, you know,
they did talk about Inner Light.
And compressed time.
And they were also talk about Carbon Creek.
Yes, Carbon Creek in it, and Time Zero. Actually, so here's how I broke it down. The blink of an eye is the most direct thing because it's like it's the exact same scenario, right? And then the Inner Light, not only did they reference it, but that's what's happening here. Yeah. Similar deal as in both of those episodes. But then you have the separate category of using local supplies, archaic supplies to do future stuff, because you see that in Time Zero, which they talk about directly when Data referenced it in this episode when he was back in San Francisco in Time Zero. Yeah. Carbon Creek, they just stated outright. City on the Edge of Forever is another one. I know they've done it in a bunch of other episodes but the idea of you're like, oh, we gotta like build some stuff using vacuum tubes.
What actually though in the episode reminded me of Carbon Creek, other than them saying it, is when Talin was juggling and tossing, talking about algorithmic tossing. Yeah. It's like in Carbon Creek, it's like because you're a Vulcan and you're good at math, that automatically makes you good at pool.
Yes.
You know? And it's kind of a similar thing where it's just math. It's like there's no physical skill at all in pool or juggling. It's all just like calculating.
Simple.
It's like as you're throwing things, you're just calculating all the time where it goes.
I love that juggling.
The whole thing holding me up from juggling is I can't calculate where it goes fast enough. The whole thing holding me back from pool is I don't understand geometry. You know, it's like that shit's fucking hard to do.
That's a fucking brilliant point. Yeah, I forgot about the whole pool thing in Carbon Creek, but you're absolutely right. But you know, Jesse, the other thing you made me think of is there's a couple episodes this season, including last week, where I mean, for my money, I highly enjoyed it, but there was, you know, it was a little bit like the plot's a little simple and predictable.
The last week was the cubes and the spheres?
Yes, last year it was with Ollie and stuff like that. And there were a couple episodes where it's like, okay, it seems more like almost like a video game morality tale where it's like, okay, Mariner has to learn this lesson this week in order to get to the next stage. And again, highly entertaining, lots of humor, beautifully animated. But
I mean, that's kind of like all of the last season of Discovery was kind of like that.
Well, no, I mean, forget about Discovery because I'm trying to make a very specific Lower Decks point, which is I think what I loved about this episode and about the best episodes of Lower Decks is that they take a bunch of stuff that we've seen before, like you were referencing, Jesse, and remix it in a way where it's like, because I think a lot of people were concerned with Lower Decks. They're like, oh, it's just going to be jerk off nostalgia bait bullshit or whatever. But what they do is they remix it so that you don't know where the story's going.
And remix.
I think what was some of our minor
and it references obscure stuff.
Yeah, but some of our minor like critiques, Orions. Some of our minor critiques of previous episodes have been the story is kind of predictable. You're like, okay, I get they're doing this story. And I think even though those were really well done, it was a slight disappointment in the context of Lower Decks because you're so used to them doing this awesome thing, kind of like they did in Wage Douge and other things where, again, they you think you know where they're going, but actually you don't because they've kind of done some few twists and turns. And I think they did that really, really well in this episode. Yeah.
Was the purple spot like... I'm trying to think if there was any kind of reason they made things purple other than just...
I was racking my brain about that, too.
Yeah, it's like, why purple?
I think Mike McMahon has successfully goobered us.
Yeah.
He's just like, I made them think about why was it purple?
So they're talking about from the start how it's purple. They're talking about purple Enterprise, purple this, purple that. They go to the planet and everything's purple. And then when they find Data's head and see that it's purple, Tendi goes, huh, it must be a slightly more purple dimension.
Yeah.
She doesn't say this until she's seen Data's head after they've already seen like 20 purple things already.
Well,
it's like you're just thinking of this now.
But it's also confusing because I was confused as to why there was so much purple on the planet because the planet is not from a different dimension. The planet's a local planet. Its Data is from purple. And Data was like extra purple, but I was like, as beautiful as the planet looked, I think they just did it because it looked pretty. But it was a little cognitively weird because I was like, oh, wait, this planet purpleness has nothing to do with the
There was some green. There was some green, but overall it had a purple haze on it.
Yeah, which
purple
was
haze. It's, purple haze.
Are you thinking about like is it the song or the weed?
I think there's like a beer called Purple Haze too.
Yeah, there is a beer. You're right. Isn't that like one of them wheat beers?
I don't think so.
I think it is. Oh no, maybe it's just like a hazy IPA. I don't know.
I don't know what. I don't remember what it. I don't think it's an IPA. I think it's just a normal old thing.
Nah, whatever. Nah. You sound like Snell. All right, it's almost break time again.
Oh, no.
Let's not have another fucking repeat of what happened last time.
No.
That was a fucking catastrophe.
No, yeah, that was fucked up.
All right, let's see if we can take break right on time.
And the last time I'd even got it right up to the... I said what I needed to say quickly enough, and then the fucking sound fucked me. But yeah, so basically this episode, like, they had to clean up after the Enterprise's mess. The Enterprise is always leaving Data's head.
Yeah, like alternate Enterprise fucks everything up.
And it's like, they're always leaving Data's head. They're always like losing Data's head. I know that was the joke. It's surprising that the Enterprise would be so clumsy to leave all that shit behind in like another dimension. Like, how would they... You know what's funny I just thought of is, like, Data's head got lost for, like, a good reason last time. Like, the Enterprise...
For a good reason. Yeah.
But the Enterprise itself, like, lost Data's head and they didn't notice it. Yeah, That's weird.
He crashed his shuttle. It wasn't clear why he was in his shuttle, but...
And when he zoomed back, he wasn't purple. He was red. There was like a fireball thing, or like a laser beam. He was going back and it was all like, shoo! You saw like a red streak.
What were we saying, Jesse? Then we're going to take a break.
Well, I really had this feeling... That like it was gonna be Data's head. I was just like, what if they just find Data's head?
Oh, that's awesome! Because it was a total surprise to me.
Like, so then it was totally fucking Data's head.
Well,
like,
now where was his body then? If it was just
Burned up. That's what they
burned
said.
Burned up.
Yeah, because he got in that crash. All right, but what hasn't burned up is the podcast format, which requires us to take a break now. So when we get back, we will conclude our discussion of Fully Dilated. Be right back.
Ah, fresh out of globbers.
Go enjoy your science fruits.
And we are back!
Oh, but it's taquito night!
Well chosen.
This is just the funny way we meet. Ha ha, ha ha, ha. We're going to be chum buddies.
Chum buddies.
Chum buddies.
Chum buddies.
Chum buddies.
Chum buddy once told me. I'm sorry.
Chum buddy. Do you know that when you go fishing, you can use chum? You can use chum.
Well, you may.
You go fishing with your chum buddy.
Your chum buddy, and you throw your chum buddy in the water, and it attracts the fish, and then you catch the fish, and you eat the fish, but it's got your chum buddy in it because the fish ate the chum buddy.
He spread the chum.
So you're eating your buddy.
Have you ever done a Google search for chum buddy?
What?
Okay, I'm gonna take that as a no. I asked if you had ever done a Google search for chum buddy.
Yes. I mean, no.
Another
what about
one that,
my buddy?
Another one that may turn out to be a keeper. All right. So one thing that came to mind when they had to dress up in the local alien
garb.
Outfits, yes, the garb and
garb.
They got the little antennae things. They
didn't have a coif though.
What?
They didn't have any kind of coif with their garb.
Oh, you're talking about a coif as in C-O-I-F-F and not a coif as in a Q-U-A-F-F.
Right. They weren't. They didn't wear a drinking.
Coif is a hairdo, I believe. Isn't that? Isn't that?
Or like some kind of hat. Could
I
be
think
a hat.
It's a hairstyle.
I think coif is hairstyle, although accessories can be included in it. I believe it is primarily about
a coif can be a piece of headgear.
I think it might, not a full hat, but maybe a fascinator. Or a ribbon might be part of
You can have a chain coif. A chain coif is what they wore, the knights and stuff, they wore on their head.
Oh,
you know those chain armor, that chain link armor,
like a chain mail type.
Yeah, it's like a chain. It's like the head part of chain mail.
I could kick you in the balls.
Right, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Hey, Dan, you know how
I don't want to know that.
You know how third break Jesse usually goes.
He starts going like.
There's a few flavors of third break Jesse.
This is one.
One of them is sound interrupted mumps. Another one is just sleepy Jesse.
You look over and he's
just passed out.
He's just passed out. But tonight's Jesse is another classic, which is just unexpectedly violent Jesse. He's just threatening you with violence. He's going to stomp on your balls or whatever.
Hey, what's the matter, big man?
No, what I'm trying to get at is they got to dress up as these aliens, you know, the typical Star Trek thing where they got to go in disguise. It was really fun to see Dr. Ta'ana not only doing it, but complaining. But she's just like 3D printing these antennae on them. Now, here's the thing. I know that they got two antennae, but it did make me think of the Snorks. Did either of you guys ever watch the Snorks?
I remember the Snorks.
I watched a lot of Snorks.
Do you remember the Snorks?
There were Snorks on ice, too. You like ice capades with Snorks?
Well, they had everything on ice. Haven't they done everything on ice? They had Ninja Turtles on ice.
Maybe I'm thinking specifically of ice capades.
Everything on ice.
I think Snorks on ice. I think they
No,
they
but
must
ice, capades
have
ice. Ice capades is different.
But did these people make you think of Snorks, or was that just me?
Now that you mention it, I think of
it was
snorks.
Snork leg.
Yeah, I think of now that you mention it, it's because they got snorkels on their
so
head.
So here's
yeah.
the thing. Now, I thought of Snorks, but then I looked up the Snorks theme song, and then I was like, oh yeah, Snorks only have like one dangly
they
thing.
Big time.
But, and they live under the sea.
And they live under the sea, but I listened
big
to...
Big time globbers.
Big time.
I listened to the theme song, and I wanted to play it for you because I was quite disappointed. Because, you know, some of those old theme songs like Gummy Bears or DuckTales or whatever, they're great. But the Snorks one wasn't so great.
Come along with the Snorks. Swim along.
You know, I think I'd rather listen to like the Saved by the Bell theme
song. Yeah, Saved by the Bell theme song is pretty good.
I think the GoBots theme was pretty bad. If I remember,
the fucking
it,
GoBots.
The song was something like the GoBots, the GoBots, the GoBots, the GoBots.
Similar to this one, just repetitive. Uninspired, repetitive nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway,
if you ever hear the animated version of Alf, the Alf cartoon, that
got any cat?
Yeah. That.
That was
hey,
me
Willie!
Doing it. That's Dan's better at the Alf.
That opening theme song is actually really awesome.
Yeah, I think we played that on the podcast. I think we did we play that on the It's Not Star Trek where we did
know.
It's Got Alf.
I think we did. Yeah.
For those not in the know. Not too long ago, earlier this year, we did an episode of It's Not Star Trek called It's Got Alf, where we discussed the pilot episode of
What's
Alf,
a pilot?
Alf. the pilot episode of Alf. Okay. Anyway.
Snorks. I was also
Flippity Flops.
I was also amused by like Ta'ana because yeah, it is true. It's like you're a doctor, which also means you have to be some kind of like artist, too, at the same time. It's funny. I would imagine that just because you could cut someone's heart out and switch it with another heart, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good at plastic surgery.
Yeah,
right?
Be good at practical jokes, though.
I'm a doctor, not whatever the f*** this is.
That was the whole Bones joke, the McCoy, you know?
I'm a doctor, not whatever the f*** this is.
That was a hey, joke on McCoy, because, you know, because like McCoy goes like, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
Oh, did
know?
He? Did
yeah.
He really?
It's like when Robin's like, holy dog feces, Batman, or whatever, or holy. I think once he said like, holy marathon.
Just stomp on his balls. If he doesn't get out of whatever little circle he's stuck in.
I think one time he goes like, holy marathon, Batman, I think I'm going to catch a stitch or something like that.
Yeah.
I think that was in the movie.
Well, then there wasn't another one from the movie where he was
or
like,
get a stitch.
It was like, Batman's talking about like tracing the transmission to, or tracing the radio signal to the transmission source, and Robin was all like, holy transistor radio, Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Something ridiculous.
And there's like that shark that like bites on the Batman.
Yeah,
like,
and then he has the shark repellent.
It's the bat. No, it's the bat shark repellent.
Bat shark repellent. Yeah, because yeah, which is a, you know, it's a bit of a hat and a hat.
Yeah,
it's a bat on a shark.
And when they're walking up, scaling up the walls, you can tell they're just walking along a floor, mm-hmm, and like they have some wire or something holding up their cape to make, yeah, and then they turn the camera sideways.
It's camp.
It's camp. It's camp. It's camp.
Yes, The Simpsons.
Yeah, The Simpsons.
Are you going to play a sound?
All right, go Team Science!
He's playing all this time, they said science.
I'm sure I can handle any science that comes up down there. I don't need sleep. I need science. I was so focused on trying to out-science you that I let my guard down.
Go enjoy your science fruits.
All right, go Team Science!
Science fruits.
Yeah. It is a lot of science.
Yeah. She's like trying
maybe
to...
Maybe that's another reason I like this episode so much.
I was so focused on trying to out-science you that I let my guard down.
Out-science you. And then
I'm sure I can handle any science that comes up down there.
She really sciences it up this episode.
Yeah.
What did you think of this whole Tendy thing? I mean, it's a silly way. I was like, what did you think about this? I enjoyed the Tendy storyline. Again, it's fun when the character development fits in with the overall arc. You know, every now and then for story purposes, you got to stretch it this way or that way. But Tendy has demonstrated repeatedly over the course of the series that she has these insecurities and can get competitive. And she provides a specific reason in this case. She says, oh, you know, she was hanging out on Orion a lot. Maybe that influenced her. Maybe yes, maybe no. But it was fun to see her work through this. And getting back to your point earlier about Tilin and the... you said insecurity. You said, yeah, she displayed insecurity. I still don't 100% know what I think about that, but I think it's a really interesting way of interpreting it, because when I'm trying to think back to the Tilin thing, mm-hmm, I took it as her having an honest observation about herself, an honest, right, self-reflection, saying that, yes, there is a deficiency in how she's able to communicate her intentions because she was not successful in being able to communicate to Tendy that she was trying to reach out to Tendy.
So... it's something that like, depending on how you present your argument, it can either come off as insecure or just a logical assessment of your own ability.
Yeah, which I think is actually sort of brilliant in and of itself, is that both interpretations are 100% valid, right? And both can be true at the same time. It can be a logical self-reflection, a self-assessment that she's making, but also... feeds into or somehow related to an insecurity. But I'm curious, because like, I agree with you that Vulcans are more likely to lie than be insecure, right? You know, that's, in fact, that's a problem that Vulcans commonly have, is an arrogance, mm-hmm, right? And a sincere arrogance, not an arrogance born of insecurity, which that can be the case sometimes, where somebody can come off as a know-it-all because they're insecure.
Okay.
Well, but those people sound like assholes.
Okay, well, here's some of the
like, they don't actually know what they're talking about.
Well, some of the exchange between Tendy and Tilin. Tilin's like, I intend to revoke my application upon our return to the Cerritos. And Tendy's like, why? And she goes, serving at the captain's side requires skills I do not possess. A science officer must be able to communicate, which I clearly cannot. There is some hyperbole to that statement. Like, she clearly cannot communicate. It's obvious she can communicate, but she's being hyperbolic about it. She's not saying, like, she's not using, like, the detailed enough verbiage or whatever to sort of put across. It's like, well, I can communicate. Maybe I'm not quite sufficient at the level in this area as I should be in this. She's straight up saying, like, I clearly can't communicate. Yeah. I do not possess communication skills.
I can buy the insecurity angle. I find it very intriguing. I'm fascinated by Tilin. I think Tilin's just such a fantastic character.
And Tendy's actual response can sort of contribute to Tilin's intention by the way it was written, because Tendy's like, oh, yes, you can. Like, she's encouraging Tilin.
Right.
And like, they wouldn't...
She's certainly taking the position that Tilin perhaps has some insecurity, or at least is not assessing the situation correctly.
Well, I don't, and I would think that if the writers took the time to make Tendy say that, their intention was to make Tilin seem insecure, because otherwise, why would they write her like misconstruing her randomly in the thing?
I don't know, makes sense to me.
It is true. I do like your argument of how, like, you know, she's just so logical, she can like straight up, you know, assess herself.
It's always tricky with Vulcans, because Vulcans are not real.
Yes.
and the concept is is fundamentally, not to be ironic, it is fundamentally illogical. It is flawed. It's a flawed concept. This whole, like, we're going to live by logic, because that's not how logic works. Logic is not an abstractly true system. Logic is underpinned by humans, unfortunately, or sentient minds that have flaws. And
human
so you can
brains.
You can introduce flaws into the logic, because all logic requires prior assumptions to go into it, and then the logic works on it. So even if the logic is perfect, if the assumptions are incorrect, boom, goes the dynamite, or whatever the phrase the kids say.
Oh, this human is full of words.
But I do have another question. What did you think about her use of the term revoke?
Revoke.
When she says, "I will revoke," I plan to revoke.
I intend to revoke my application.
Yes, I would have preferred, or I would have expected, rescind. Rescind. I would
withdraw.
Rescind or withdraw is another one. Withdraw or rescind. Revoke. Revoke seems a little bit different, because revoke tends to have.
Seems like something that somebody would do to someone else.
Well, and also, a revoke has a connotation of a power structure, by the way. I give enough credit to these writers to know this.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And maybe intended, because the power dynamic in revoke is that I am in the powerful. If I'm doing the revoking, it means I have the power.
You're the revoker.
In the relationship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I am the superior in the hierarchy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's something something somebody tends to do to someone else.
But when you withdraw, or if you rescind, both of those are still you doing the thing. It's still you taking the action. However, the implication is a different hierarchical relationship between the rescindor and the rescindee. Whereas in with revoke is like, I'm taking it away from you. Not I'm taking this thing back. Taking it away from you.
Taking it back for myself?
My
argument is that my argument is that when I hear revoke, I think of it as one person is taking something from someone else. When I think of rescind, that's more like, oh, I'm taking it back.
Yes, I agree, but that's what I'm saying, is that it doesn't make sense that, like, it's a you don't revoke your nomination. You would rescind your application. You would withdraw your application.
I think I'm agreeing with you this entire time, and you keep telling me that you keep like retelling me.
No, I'm not telling
what you're trying to say, and okay. I think I'm saying the same thing as
right.
you are.
All right, I think that may be the case. It appears that it may be.
I'm pretty sure we're saying the same thing.
Well, audience, Jesse's switching into sleepy Jesse mode. So, audience, we're going to rely on you. Right at feedback@StarTrek.com. Can you please tell Dan and I if we indeed agree with each other?
Yeah.
It could be that we disagree, but we missed somewhere along the lines where we disagree, and we should be arguing right now. If so, just write us in and let us know. Or you can write in and confirm that indeed we have agreed.
If they were
that would be appreciated.
If they were sitting closer together, they could start slapping each other.
Yeah.
again, but they're not.
Okay, well,
Violent Jesse's back.
Speaking of Vulcans, Vulcans already think that humans are pretty stinky as it is. I'm like, she must have really thought when Tana was talking about, like, you know, it's got like livestock and like people's dew everywhere and stuff. Like, that must be terrible for a Vulcan.
There's a lot of smelly shit in the galaxy.
Because like I said, Vulcans already think humans stink when they're not, like, old school.
And I guess it's not just humans. Just Vulcans think other people in general.
It sounds, when you cauterize someone's scent glands or whatever, that sounds pretty permanent to me.
Yeah, I know. It just sounded like she's just going to shove some electrodes up her nostrils.
Scent receptors. Well,
maybe it was in those extra, like, horny bits they had.
What?
Extra horny bits.
What are you talking about?
They had those two bits.
Oh, he's talking about the horns, the antennae.
Wait, what
he's
is that?
Talking about being horny as in the sexual.
Wait, what does the horns have to do with cauterizing
those had the scent receptors.
Remember Mariner was all talking to, like, about, like, oh man, I hope we can get home soon. This is starting to itch.
Yeah.
It's like, little did she know.
Little.
She thought that itch was going to be over in like a day max, but it was like fucking, she must have been itching real bad for that whole couple months.
It's a good thing Dr. Tana made them as durable as she did.
Mariner, like, went to jail, like, because she
twice.
Like, the first time
she horned a guy.
She
horned a guy.
No!
She horned my eye!
Why is it so squishy?
No! She horned my eye!
I don't like how squishy it was.
I don't like
it.
It was
pretty yucky.
I don't know.
It's like it did.
Oh, yeah!
Somehow it did a lot of damage, and she had to go to jail.
So yes, it did a lot. He said it did a lot of damage, and she had to go to jail.
Remember this one from 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
Yeah, that was a squishy one, too.
That was Starbase 80?
Yeah, it was Starbase 80.
Ransom had to put the Enterprise-style goo all over his body.
She horned my eye.
And then she got out of jail and immediately had to go back because she like can you I like how she popped a grape. She like squeezed a grape and it totally popped everywhere.
It was a big old grape.
And it like went poof. So yeah, Talyn did some great shit with like fruit and stuff like that, right? Yeah. And she also like got them rich off of some magical hair tonic, and that's pretty impressive. But I think that it's pretty impressive to get Data's head to run with a crank and then subsequently with how are you going to get enough power? How are you going to get enough power from hydroelectric to power Data's positronic network in his head?
Well,
are they really like energy efficient or something?
I don't think Data needs that much power.
I mean, I would think you'd need more than a fucking water wheel.
I think he could do like 2 9-volt batteries.
I think that you think how many volts you think
about,
a water wheel puts out?
What about 4 double A's?
Well, you got your volts, you got your amps, got your wattage. It's complicated. Electricity's ridiculous.
You're just trying to dodge the question.
Well,
how many volts?
4 AAAs.
I'm trying to provide a modicum of entertainment towards the conclusion of this podcast.
It says a typical village water wheel would produce a very low voltage, usually around 12 volts or less. So,
but maybe he doesn't need. I mean, the
maybe they were better off
small
with the wind,
wires
though.
You would expect wouldn't have the high volts anyway.
She could have hooked him up to the windmill.
He's got a whole fucking network, man.
Yeah, but the thin wires.
But there's a lot of them.
Thin wire. Yeah, but they're thin. It's all about how thin the wire is, not about
Data's head.
Anyway.
No, but he's got a lot of them. It's a combination.
He's got a lot
it's
of them.
Why are you saying it was like, ooh, Sunny D? Why are you saying it like it's a TV commercial?
It's got
a lot of them.
Because it's more.
I got the box.
You just
what
put
do
all,
you
if
got?
You put them all together, they create one big wire. Anyway, it's not important. It's not important.
Okay. All right.
All right.
It's not important. Let's.
Do we want to talk about like
bits and bobs? Final bits and bobs.
Rutherford has a
tidbits.
Rutherford
what
has a beard
I
for
used
some
to
reason.
Say? What did I call those things? Bits. Odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Yes. Rutherford.
Taquito
beard.
Night.
I love that Rutherford has only recently started growing a beard and it's already looking awesome and sexy.
And Boimler's is in this really like creepo phase right
now. It's looking crazier and crazier.
Like the mustache was kind of creepy, but somehow this is even worse.
It is pretty awful. It's, but that is a fun gag with the Rutherford beard growing. Also, we didn't really talk much. We referenced Snell, but we didn't talk much about Snell. And I did enjoy this character. I love any of the
I knew it.
You know the nyar type. You know, sometimes it's a Ferengi
you.
Type.
That's yes, just, you do. I saw it.
Eric Bauza did the voice for Snell and
two for a globber.
He's famous, done a million voices. But he's
let me guess, Slarno.
He's like the modern Mel Blanc. I think he does Bugs Bunny. In fact,
yes. I mean, no. This is a trick. Get burnt, Snell.
Whoops, that was just her telling Snell to get burnt.
I knew it. That's amazing. What are you doing here?
He really had it out for him, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, he was a stalker. He was a creepy dude.
Yeah. Another thing that, remember I was talking about Tendi with the purple, how she was all commenting on the purpleness of, she was like, after they saw this purple stuff all episode and they see Data's head purple, when she saw Data's head being purple, she was like, huh, it seems to be purple in this dimension. It's like, yeah, we established that like 10 minutes ago.
It was a purple D.
But then she was like, their mission was to go to the planet. Right? And find the thing. And then Tendi, when they get on the planet, Tendi's like, you know, it's been here for years. If they were going to find it, they would have found it by now, which is a reasonable assessment.
You do a good job of mimicking Tendi's facial expressions.
Well, thank you. Too bad it's not a video podcast.
I know. I was
too
I was
bad you're not green.
But, I was lamenting that, too.
But Talyn's basically came down and said, like, we got to go find this shit. And Tendi's like, you know, they would have found it already because it's been here for years. And Mariner goes, Talyn's right. We should go. And Tendi got all pissed off. She's like, oh, man, Talyn's always right. I would not say that Talyn is right in that situation. I would say that she is following the orders they were given.
Right.
Talyn was like, let's go.
Just procedure.
Let's go to the place we're supposed to go that they told us to go. And Tendi's like, well, they would have found it already. And Mariner says, we should go to the place. And she's like, stupid Talyn. Well, like, those are their orders. It's not Talyn being
right.
It's not Talyn being right. It's just those are their orders. You got to get sooner or later. Like, if they follow Tendi, and Tendi didn't even give a suggestion. She was just making a comment about the state of things. If Tendi did suggest that they not go find the thing and they followed Tendi's direction, they would have been like court-martialed or something because they fucking went AWOL or whatever. I'm just saying.
Do you hate Tendi now?
No, Tendi's great.
Tendy's cool.
Did you catch the
right, of course.
Did you catch the reference? I didn't catch this reference. I mean, I caught the reference, but I didn't understand the reference until I was watching the Crusher Convo reaction to this episode. Mariner makes a reference to the Edo.
How,
like when she gets arrested. And the Edo, Crusher Convo reminded me, is that was the name of the people on that in that episode, Justice of TNG, where the where those sexy 1980s people want to murder Wesley because he fell into the plans.
Rompers.
Yeah, they were the Edo.
The rompers,
yeah, they were wearing those silly outfits.
Yeah, I couldn't. I knew that it was referencing something.
Me
but
too.
I didn't know.
But I couldn't
what.
Remember what it was. But that's what it was. Thank you, Jesse from Crusher Convo. Everyone should go check it out on YouTube.
Do you think that this was an innuendo?
Yeah, but she can afford to with her giant melons. I can't compete with that.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I mean, I don't know. You kind of wouldn't expect it to be, but it's also hard not to take it that
so,
way. But first of all, you just wouldn't expect that from, you know, this is a progressive show. The producers are fairly progressive. They're not generally going to go for that
Vulcan,
style
Vulcan
of body
chicks
humor.
Tend to have big melons.
And
that's neither here nor
Jesse,
there.
Jesse, of course, is not quite so progressive. No. But the other thing is like, just from a practical perspective, was like, I don't think Tendy and Talin have necessarily been portrayed as... I'm trying not to talk about their boobs. The boobs.
boobs.
I just don't think that. I don't think Talin's got crazy big boobs.
Well, I mean,
I don't know, man.
I don't think about it personally. If you think about it, that's
no.
Your business.
I'm not.
I mean,
thinking
it's
about
cool.
It.
You can think about that.
No,
stuff,
I've right? never looked at a lady ever.
Never.
For any reason.
Never.
Gross. Ew.
Ew.
Ew. No boobs.
Boobs.
I don't want to look at the boobs.
Yeah. You were really cool.
Cartoon boobs.
But then they also like they had the joke about the fully dilated at the beginning of the episode, and they also
and the fully functional joke.
Wow, you really are fully functional.
Yeah,
but that's a perfect joke because it's not offensive in the context. Yeah. It's only offensive if you know enough about Star Trek to know why it's offensive. Yeah. And I don't mean offensive. I mean, you know, about the naughty bits. About data.
That's so nice.
Fiddling around with the Tasha Yar while she was under the influence of an alien virus. Ay, 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 the 1980s. The 1980s Star Trek is a little...
A soap flute?
No, soap flute?
Because she was in jail.
See, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah, but now I want a soup flute.
A soup flute.
I gotta find a flute! I guess it would just be a long tube of glass filled with tomato soup or something. I don't want the tomato soup, but like a lobster bisque.
Maybe it would be a noodle.
It'd be gross to like be sucking on soap or blowing on soap. And she, you know, she made it two pieces? She like bothered to make it two
separate
pieces.
Yeah, like prison
pieces.
Style. Yeah. It was
great. The only way I can handle the pain is by playing my beloved soap flute.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there was one part at the end where Rutherford looked, like, really bummed. Like, when Mariner told him and Boimler that they owe him big time, when she was like, you owe us big time.
Especially when Talin said it. I think that's what really did
and
it.
And when you look, yeah, it shoots, goes back to a shot of Boimler and Rutherford, and Rutherford is off to the side. And if you look at him, he looks, like, super fucking bummed out.
He's like, oh, man.
He's like, oh.
Oh, I owe these people.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to have, like,
oh,
drinks.
Oh, man.
I knew that Data wasn't going to choose Talin to be the de facto science
of
officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the way they cut it off, it was supposed to, like make you... you're supposed to be like, oh, yeah, of course he's going to pick her. But then, like, by cutting it off, it's supposed to be like, but will he? Yeah. And then...
I knew immediately he was going to say do both, but I gave the episode credit that I didn't guess it was going to end with both at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
This goes back to what I was saying before. The story was winding enough that you weren't 100% sure exactly where it was going to go.
Well, if you watch
or
enough...
how it was going to get
If you
there.
Watch enough, like, TV and movies, you'll learn that this whole idea of a team leadership role... like a team senior leadership role is not a good idea. The whole idea is not a good idea. The whole idea is not a good one. Because like when you have two people that are like the head of a department, according to TV and movies, they fight each other all the time because what you need is you need one person at the top.
What about according to real life?
I don't know about that kind of stuff in real life. I've never been a manager.
I don't know about real life.
I'm just a cave, man. Your world frightens me.
Salerno strong.
So just, I'm just saying, like, you know, like, I bet you if there was another season of Lower Decks, Talyn and Tendi would start.
There is not.
Would start strifing about the fact that they're both the senior science officer.
And maybe that'll be next episode.
And so, like, one wants it this way and the other wants it this way, but there's no single person to, like, decide, you know? So it's, I was going to think that that might happen, but we don't have that much time left, so.
No, we don't. No, nor do we have that much time left in this podcast.
Nobody does. Oh. Nobody does.
It is the end of the podcast.
There's one more thing we got to do.
Well, okay, is there?
Yes.
Right. Okay, what's that thing, and let's do it.
Duty or no duty?
Ah!
Whoa.
Whoa. Oh, God. Lord and Lord. Oh. All right, then. That's the audience is definitely enjoying that.
All right.
Chief O'Brien?
Okay, duty or no duty? There's two of them. Here's number one. They're they're both to Lynn.
Duty or no duty? Hold on.
Oh, we're doing the thing.
Fucking down the alley. Duty on the ground.
Big time globbers.
People looking closely. Duty nowhere.
Gotta play
found.
The duty or no duty scene song. Remember we had the AI make these?
Yeah, I do.
That was on our Patreon.
Uh-huh.
People should check out our Patreon. We got some good stuff on there. All right. That's enough of the duty or no duty AI song. You can hear the full thing on our Patreon. All right.
We did not write it.
No, the AI wrote it.
Yeah.
We came up with the prompt, though.
Yeah.
So it's ours.
Yeah, we did it.
We're creative. We're geniuses.
Yeah, we're good. All right. They're both from Talyn, by the way. So here's number one.
I will ignore the inconvenience of the stench to fulfill my duty.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
I'll play it again.
Fulfill my duty. Fulfill my duty. Fulfill my duty.
Duty or no duty?
Tricky. What do you think, Jesse? It's a bit borderline for me.
Fulfill my duty.
No,
I will ignore
no,
the inconvenience of
no
the stench
duty.
To fulfill my duty.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
What was that?
No duty.
No duty? Are you... No. Wait.
Fulfill my duty.
Okay. What did you say, Patrick?
What I love is that Dan, every week, Dan presents this, more specifically, presents himself as a neutral arbiter. And then as soon as Jesse or I give her answer, Dan's like, are you fucking serious?
He sows the seeds.
Wait. And then he's just playing it again. He's like, are you hearing what I'm hearing? Although in this case, Dan, I think it might be a duty.
That's a duty?
Fulfill my duty.
That's definitely a duty.
It's borderline. It's real fucking borderline.
I'd say it's definitely duty.
I think this is a duty, not a duty.
So, fulfill my duty.
Okay, next
but
one.
Jesse disagrees.
Jesse disagrees.
Is there another one from this episode?
Yeah, from Talyn. I said that already a minute ago.
Well, okay.
Okay.
Is it possible that Mr. Boimler has been distracted from his duty? From his duty. From his duty.
To me, that's more of a duty.
From his duty.
That's a no duty.
I'm going to play the whole thing again.
No
is
duty.
Is it possible that Mr. Boimler has been distracted from his duty? From his duty. From his duty.
I think it's a duty. I mean, it's a duty, so it's duty.
Yeah, you can't answer
it's
like you just did, man.
It's a no
you can't
duty.
Do that. No duty is Patrick
I'm
going to
go with no duty again, but I think Talyn has a sort of relaxed way of saying the T, that it is on the border.
Jesse, have you ever sometimes. Said duty? I feel like you've only ever said no duty.
What the fuck are you talking
Have you answered
about?
Duty before?
Have you answered duty before?
Step in the room, locking in noon. Yeah, we on a mission. Rhyme so tight, flow so bright. Factual wishing. Is it duty? No duty.
No duty.
Side. I can't hide this vibe. Ride the rhythmic tide. Is it duty? No duty. Let the crowd speak.
Let the crowd speak.
Let the crowd speak. So Jesse,
that's us.
Jesse,
well, I mean,
once
for
again,
for the purposes of this podcast,
for,
that's
once
us.
Again for the 100%. To maintain his 100% average,
100%.
He says no duty because Jesse never thinks duty.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think this is a definite duty.
I
don't know either.
This is a duty.
I've given both answers. Yeah.
I don't think you ever have.
I'm saying this is a no duty. Okay. Any other little bits and bobs? Any other no duties or duties?
No, I noticed Mariner's like. With her jail sentence, she's always making friends with like scoundrel types. Yeah. She's pretty
including
good at
murderers.
That.
That was funny
including
joke.
Murderers. Yeah. that was a
okay.
funny joke.
Good.
And she was all
murderers.
What did she say? She said like,
I don't want to know that.
And then also, for whatever reason, I wrote down there were a lot of exclamations in this episode. When I record my sounds, I'll often mark ones. Mm-hmm. I'll always mark a question, and exclamation is a little bit more subjective.
Question.
But I found myself marking more as exclamations this episode than I. That I seem to have remembered in the past. Mm. I think. It could be in my head. But I feel like this episode
may warrant a study. A rigorous study.
A rigorous study. Like, when I say exclamations...
Where we graph it all, we'd get all the statistics.
I mean, like, things like...
Oh, my! Go, Team Science!
Or like...
Ah! That's so nice!
Or like...
I did it!
Or like...
I gotta find a flute!
You know, like, those are like exclamations. There are a lot of those.
All right. That sounds great. And there's gonna be plenty of room for exclamations next week. And a reminder.
Next
a reminder.
I'm next running
week,
out of time.
Next week, because there is host travel going down, which will impede us from recording next week's episode, we're going to save that for the following week. So next week, host. We're going to have a bonus fun time episode, sound quiz-em-up super, what we're going to call it, the Dan Sound-em-up Fucksplosion. Now, we know it's not going to be called that because...
Permission to speak freely.
We can't write that on Apple Podcasts, but we'll just, between you and me, it's Dan Sound-em-up Fucksplosion.
It's going to be called like... Cock-splosion.
Permission to speak freely.
It shall be fun. But in the meantime...
Permission to speak freely. Permission to speak freely.
In the meantime...
Permission to speak freely. Permission to speak freely.
Oh, you're asking for... Okay, I'm sorry. I forget. Sometimes Dan decides he can only communicate via sound clips. Okay, Dan, you may speak freely.
I think we should call it something else.
Okay, yes, I think that
Fucksplosion?
Well, no, yes, I said, no, we can't put that on the title, so don't worry about it. They'll figure it out. Just listen.
I feel like I've been duped into doing more work here.
No, there's no work. Like, no work.
I'm going to have to pick the sounds because I'm going to have to know where they're coming from.
Just pick randomly. It doesn't matter. Just pick randomly. You doesn't just read the file name and guess your best. It doesn't matter.
I don't even have to know.
You don't even have to know. It'll make it even more fun. Okay.
I'm running out of time.
But you can find us on social media, Blue Sky, et cetera, all Blue-ski. That stuff, Facebook, YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you wouldn't mind. That'd be great.
I'm experiencing a power fluctuation.
You can hear the podcast. There's usually not video, but you know, you get a nice static image on your TV and you can listen to the podcast on the TV. That's cool.
I fail to see how adding bounce to curls could alter the course of civilization.
Email at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com, website www.itsgotstartrek.com, voicemails itsgotstartrek.com/record, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek for all sorts of fun, crazy, wacky, whacking me ups. Most of it's not even about Star Trek. It's just a bunch of nonsense.
What are you doing here?
Entertaining nonsense. But
these guys are off the hook.
Yeah. All right. Another great episode.
I wonder if the carpets match the hull.
Oh, that was another dirty joke.
I wonder if the carpets match the hull.
Oh, yeah. That's a pubic hair joke about whether your pubic hair matches your hair color, which, by the way, pubic hair, my understanding, generally matches your eyebrow color.
Oh, fuck.
Eyebrow color. Not necessarily.
It's weird. I haven't.
Color. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
I need to get home to Jordy. He is my best friend.
Get out of here before we charge you. Are you jealous you aren't coming with?
From our perspective, you'll be gone for like a second, so no.
Yeah, right. Yes, you are.
I am not. Ah, got a shrimp in my eye! Ah!